Hi, Bob Barney with The Plain Truth Today, brought to you by theplaintruth.com. And I want to talk about a subject today we talk about usually yearly about this time. It's after March 1st, so we're in the month of the pagan month, that is, of March. And during this month, on March 20th, the spring equinox, as your Bible and my Bible all says, that's when God says, this is the new month of the new year. This is the new year celebration that you are to celebrate and to begin counting off your 12, 30-day months. And I'm going to get into that in this program and what it all means. And you will see that the calendar that God wanted us to follow, first of all, has two parts to it, in my opinion, that I'm going to go over today. One is, when does the day begin? And that is a very simple thing to answer. If you go through the Bible and you understand the Bible, you will see that the day begins at sunrise. And I have proven that before, but I'm going to show you an example right now of the day beginning at sunrise that's indisputable. If you take your Bible and you go to the Gospel of John, which is the fourth of the Gospels, that's the one right before Acts, and you go to chapter 20, it talks about the resurrection of the dead. Now, before we read this, I want to explain one thing. Most of the Church of God's out there who follow the Sabbath, including the Adventist, and all Jews think that the day begins in the evening because they do not understand the first chapter of Genesis. In Genesis, when it said, let there be evening, let there be morning, the first day, people said, oh, that's evening, then morning, so evening begins the day. That's not how you read it. God says, let there be light, and then he starts his creation. Each day you see his creation, and at the end of the day, you see the term, then comes evening, then comes morning, the first day, meaning the end of the first day at morning, and then you get into day two, or day three, or day four, or day six when man was created, and then there was evening, then there was morning, and the next day, the seventh day, was the Sabbath in the morning. And I know many people don't want to believe it and read it that way, but if you really take the time and read it yourself as how I presented it, you will see that the day begins in the morning. But let's prove it again biblically in the New Testament, not the Old Testament, but the New Testament here. And that is John chapter 20. And we're going to read out of the ESV version, not my Bible's version, because sometimes people say, well, it's your Bible, you interpreted it wrong. So this is the ESV, the English Standard Version, very good version, by the way, taken from the King James, but they do some modernization of it. And on top of that, they also clear up some points that the King James is wrong in. But the resurrection is the heading. Now, on the very first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early whilst it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples. Now, I just want to stop here. So now on the very first day, or on the first day, I should say, of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early whilst it was still dark. Ha ha, they say, this proves the evening day. It proves that it was still dark, and it was the first day of the week. So she came after the Sabbath, and the first day of the week began on Saturday evening, and so Saturday morning was still the first day of the week when it was still dark. So that proves me wrong. Is that true? Well, let's continue to read. So we go down to where the apostles appear, or I'm sorry, Jesus appears to the apostles, and that's chapter 20, verse 19. Now it is says this, on the evening of that day, being the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus stood among them and said, peace be with you. Let me read that again because I kind of flubbed it. On the evening of that day, which being the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, saying, peace be with you. So in the evening time, what's the evening time? You think about that. It's when do you sit down after, basically after sunset or around sunset. So the first day of the week was still what we would call Sunday evening. So what does that tell you about when that day ends? Well, it's very obvious. So what you're seeing when you read now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, verse 1 again, whilst it was still dark. Right before, when is the darkest time of the night? Everyone knows the old phrase, it's darkest before the dawn. And so she is waiting to the end of the Sabbath day. Remember, she could have went. And by the way, on a side point here, Gardner Ted Armstrong one time when I was talking to him, tried to convince me that verse 1 of chapter 20, now on the first day of the week when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, he said, oh, that was a Saturday night. That wasn't Sunday morning. That was Saturday night because it was dawning the first day at the evening. And I took that at the time. It was many years ago. But then one day I'm reading it all over again. And every time you read the Bible, you actually, that's why I tell people to read it for yourself and believe what it says. And when it says something that you didn't see before, it's because your mind, and this is an important subject here, your mind often thinks it knows what's there, and you read things and you do not understand what it really said because you think you have the answer. One day I'm reading this whole thing, oh, I don't know, 20 years ago or more, and I noticed verse 19. And I said, verse 19 proves that Gertrude Armstrong was wrong. It meant that that evening on the same day of the week, meaning the first day of the week. And then I realized that day isn't at 23 hours long. Obviously, she actually came to the tomb when it says, in the early morning before the sun rose. And that's really what it's saying here. And that's how you can prove with your Bible. I can prove it in about 40 other places, by the way, that the day begins at sunrise and the day ends at the next sunrise. Now, the hours of the day, there are 12 hours of the day, 6 to 6, basically, 12. But at night, they don't have hours. They have watches. I believe there are 3 watches. There may be 4. I don't have that note in front of me, but I think there's at least 3 watches, which is like 9 to 12 is the first watch, 12 to 3 is the second watch, and 3 to sunrise is the last watch. And they would have watchmen overlooking the city walls, and they would cry out every hour or so, everything's fine. And that's the evening time is when people are sleeping. It's not part of a day. It's part of a nighttime after the day's work. So we're going to get in now to the actual calendar. If you go back to Exodus 12, and my notes say this is the Passover chapter, and this is how it starts. Verse 1, Exodus 12, second Bible book of the second book of the Torah, second, you know, Genesis is first, then Exodus. And it starts like this. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be your first month of the year for you. And tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small, and it goes on and on and on. But this month, so they were following months, and they were following, what months were they following? Most likely they were following Egyptian months. We are people who believe in the pagan calendar of Rome is the calendar we follow. I still say, even when I put things on the plain truth, Friday wrap-up, for example, for March 28th or March 27th, 2025, right? I'm using the pagan months, even though I know they're pagan. You and I, we have to write out checks. We have to write out bills. We have to do things. We go by what everyone else is using. Though we know the plain truth of the fact is that God's calendar is really what we're supposed to use, but you can't use it in civilian life. And that was the same thing. Obviously, Moses was following, and the people at the time, they'd been in Egypt for 400 years, and they were following the Egyptian calendar and Egyptian months. And after this word, I'll get back and explain that, what it means. Because the Egyptian calendar is the calendar that was the closest to being accurate at the time. Hi, Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today. A new year is right around the corner. That is March 20th is when God's new year begins. If you want to know all about the calendar, you want to know about what the day starts and when it starts, then you have to go to theplaintruth.com. We have articles about it under the literature section, and we will have on The Plain Truth's main page, as well as these podcasts and the message board, all the information you need to know about God's calendar, God's day, and God's year, and how it is calculated, and how long it lasts, and what it all means. That's all found on theplaintruth.com, where you can get the message board, you can go to Your Health Today, you can find these podcasts, all the literature I just told you about the calendar, and the main page, of course, where there will be many stories as Passover time and the new year arrives. That's theplaintruth.com. Go there every day. Thank you. Well, we're back, and I want to get in now to the Egyptian calendar. The Egyptian calendar dates back to some 4,000 years at least, and it is the very first calendar of all the ancients to have a 365-day year. They understood the year was 365 days, the reason being they were following a year based on the sun and not a year based on the moon that the Babylonians and the Canaanites and even the Greeks did, because the lunar year is only 354 days long, and therefore you're falling 11 days short every year. This is why the Hebrew calendar has a added 13th month every 3 years, which I'm going to show you in this program. It's not biblical, not biblical at all. It's totally pagan. It's Babylonian. And matter of fact, the Hebrew calendar has many Babylonian months, and you're not supposed to be worshiping Babylonian gods in the name of your months. That's what we're doing with January for Janus, for example. Because the Roman calendar, again, the months were named after the moons or the gods of their day, or Julius Caesar or Augustus Caesar. That's July and August. But the Egyptian calendar was a solar calendar, and they needed to know the precise time that the Nile River was going to flood for farming. Now, their new year was not the spring equinox. It was the summer solstice, when the star Sirius could be observed in the eastern horizon. As a matter of fact, you go to the pyramid, and they've discovered this, there is when the sun shines through one little hole to the thing, they know that is when the actual summer solstice begins, and that is their new day. And that is why God had to tell Moses and Aaron, this day will be your new day. Not, you understand that now, because their new day started on the spring, the summer solstice, where God's is going to start in the spring, which makes sense, does it not? That your year should start in the spring, not in the middle of the winter or the middle of the summer, and your day should start at the beginning when you wake up, not when you go to sleep. So that was the Egyptian calendar. Now, what the Egyptians' earlier calendar probably, and there are different ideas about this, but the Egyptian calendar probably was a solar 360-day year calendar, because it is my belief, and I believe there's many scholars, and in our articles we have on the calendar, I produce some of those scholarly articles, that the Earth's rotation used to be 360 degrees. And that makes sense, because God makes things in perfection, but things get out of perfection when sin occurs. Sin changes God's laws and his plans, and he has to find ways around that. So originally, when God created the heavens and the earth, he made it where the earth rotated around the sun a perfect 360. That is the degrees of a circle, 360. And 1 degree would be 1 day. Now, the moon takes about 29 and a quarter or 29 and a half days to circle the earth. But originally, when God created everything, he created in perfection. And I'm supposing this is not biblical. Just realize this. This is not biblical. I always tell you when something's biblical, but God gave you a brain to make sense. Why would something be 29 and a half days and not 30 days? So I would say, and you can prove this by the calendar of Noah, by the way, before the flood, that the earth was 360 days long. And each month was 30 exact days. Again, if you go to the Bible, and you will see in the biblical narrative about the Great Flood, Noah's time in the ark is often known to be 5 months long. It tells you when it started and when it ended. And it ended in let's put it this way. It started on the 17th day of the second month, and it lasted for 150 days, and that's what it said. And then it says the ark came to rest on the 17th day of the seventh month, which is during the Feast of Tabernacles, by the way, hint, hint. And it then says that was 150 days. Well, if you are following a Hebrew calendar, there is no way that 5 months is 150 days because they have 30 and 29-day months, and they never have 5 months equaling into 150 days, proving that the exact nature of this calendar has to be 12 30-day months, and it aligned perfectly. That's why I said God gives you common sense. It aligned perfectly with the idea that the earth's rotation was 360 days for a year and 30 days for a month. 30 days, 30 days for new moons, because they were following the new moon back then to get their months. Now today, when we have a new moon celebration that you see in the Bible, that King David had a new moon celebration, things like that. It's like, where do we get our name for moon? Or I'm sorry, where do we get our name for month? The month of January, the month of February, the month of March, where we are today. Where do we get the word month? Well, it comes from moon. It's moonth. And yet we're not following the moon for the beginning of January, February, March, or April, are we? We're following a whole separate type of new month date that has nothing to do with the moon, and yet the root word is moon. And the same thing in the Bible. When it says it's a new moon celebration, what it means, it's a new month celebration of 30 days and 30 days every single month. And that is how, when you read in the story of King David, when he says, tomorrow night is the new moon celebration, he knew it was coming. They weren't looking to be, you know, like you read the stories and they say they had rabbis out there looking for the first crescent and they knew the month began. No, they already knew the months because they had a calendar that was fixed to the sun and not looking for the rising of the moon. You know, if there was a cloudy day, they could know it was the new moon or not. It doesn't even make sense, does it? So, you know that originally, before the flood, there was 12 30-day months equaling 360-day years. Well, the Egyptians followed that same 360-day calendar, and they followed a lunar calendar before they went to a solar calendar. Any research will show you that. And what happened? They realized they were losing 11 days a year between the flooding of the Nile, which always happened basically the same day of the year. And that's why they devised this new calendar of 12 30-day months, based on what? It started on their summer solstice, and 30 days later was the second month, and 30 days later was the third month, and 30 days later was the fourth month. But then they also realize after 12 30-day months, there's still five more days before it's going to get to the summer solstice. So what they did is they added a 5 to 6 day, because it's 365 and a quarter days long a year. So every 4 years, there's an extra day. So they fixed that every single year by adding 5 days. And once in a while, it took 6 days every 4 years before the new year would begin on the summer solstice. And they were called no-count days. They didn't count in any month. And that is what Moses did. So when God said to Moses, this day will be the new year for you, all God did was take the Egyptian calendar and moved it to the summer, from the summer solstice to the spring equinox to begin the year. And then you start counting out your 30 days. And you will end up, believe it or not, you're going to end up 5 to 6 days off. And so what God said is you just do not count these 5 or 6 days until the new equinox happens, just like what the Egyptians did. That's why Moses didn't have to be trained, because he understood the calendar of Egypt perfectly, and he understood that God's calendar was just the same thing, the same exact thing as the Egyptians, just a new start of the 30-day count for the year. And the Essene calendar, which we have found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, basically does the same thing, although they become one day off a year because they only came up with a 364-day year. And we're not even sure that that Essene calendar we found is the only one that they had. I'll be right back. Hi, Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today. This is a broadcast every day, some by me, some by other people, some video, some audio, that goes into today's topic that is important for you to understand. And a lot of today's topics require you to understand what the Bible says, because the Bible predicts today's news, tomorrow's news, and the news of the future. Plus, it gives you an accurate account of the news of the past. That's theplaintruth.com. Please go there every day. Thank you. And we're back to the final thing about God's calendar, the new month, the new year, when the day begins, how you count down years. And we're going to get into the last thing of proving the 1260-day calendar. And that is the times and half a times, 42 months, 1260 days that you find in both the Old and the New Testament. In Revelation 11 and 12, John mentions 1260 days in two prophecies concerning another persecution of the people of God during the end times. Daniel 8 also speaks of similar 2300 days. However, the 1260-day prophecy that is found in two passages in Revelation. First of all, Revelation 2-3 says, the Gentiles will trample the holy city for 42 months, and I will appoint my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days. Then later, you find out that the 1260 days are the 42 months, or 3.5 years. And that is very important to God's calendar and to figure out what exactly is going on. Because if 1260 days is exactly 42 months, and that is exactly 3.5 years, that implies that there were 1260 days, or 42 months of 30-day months, with no 31-day months or 28-day months or 29-day months. For 3.5 years, time is calculated by 1260 days, not 1265 days, not 1263 days, but 1260 days, which absolutely biblically proves that in 3.5 years' time, there are only 42 30-day months. Think about that. That is what your Bible says. Nowhere in your Bible is there ever a mention of a 13th month that the Jewish people and most of the Sabbath-keeping Christians keep. There's just no such thing. In fact, if you go back to Kings and Chronicles, and they talk about the guards for the temple throughout the months of the year, they only go through the names of the guards' family for 12 months. They never give a 13th month one. Now, why the 3.5 year, 1260-day prophecy is so important is because in Jewish or Hebrew calendar that all these people want to follow, that's not biblical at all. It's Babylonian. It's not godly. Every 3 years, they have to have a 13th month. So the idea that in John, the revelation of 1260 days is 42 months and 3.5 years, there should be 43 months in that time, not 42 months. Think about that, which absolutely proves, and every biblical scholar, and I'll never forget this in a minute, but every biblical scholar will tell you, for some reason, biblical prophecy is only 360 days long. That's what they'll tell you. Every concordance you go to, every Bible dictionary you go to, and in a radio broadcast, and in a personal conference that I had, or talk that I had with Garner Ted Armstrong, some 36 years ago, when I first mentioned this to him, and I was still following his calendar before I realized that it was wrong. When I first mentioned this, I said, well, what about this idea about the 1260 day and 42 months? And Garner Ted, I heard it on the radio, but he really explained it even more in person when I saw him, said, well, that's only for prophecy. God's calendar is only 360 days long in prophecy. In fact, when we do the 2,520-year prophecy concerning the destruction of Israel and taken into captivity, and there would be 2,520 years before Israel would be made into a great nation, that is 70 times 7, which is only using 360-day years in prophecy. And that worked out from 718 B.C. to 1803 A.D., when the United States acquired the Louisiana Purchase, which fulfilled biblical prophecy according to Garner Ted Armstrong. And I believe it, by the way. But the point being is he even had to admit that when it ever came from prophecy, God's calendar is only 360 days, years long. And I asked him, why is that? And he said to me, he doesn't know. And at that time, I started being convinced that God's calendar is like the Egyptian calendar that every scholar knows about, that God's calendar is only 12, 30-day months. And because of the flood, that's my conjecture, that's not biblical. I always tell you what's biblical and what's not biblical, that because of the flood, the earth slowed down by some 5 days, 5 1/4 days, actually, a year from what it was before the flood. That is why the calendar was perfect before the flood, as I explained in the passages concerning Noah. But soon afterwards, all of the peoples started noticing in the different civilizations that the earth's calendar was different and that the seasons were changing when they were trying to follow a lunar calendar, because the lunar also changed during the flood to a 28-29-day cycle versus a 30-day cycle that it was before. And you see the peoples, the ancient peoples like Egypt and the Babylonians, trying to make their calendar fit what it used to be easy for them to fit when it was a perfect 360-day, 30-month calendar. And they couldn't get it to fix. And the Egyptians, because they were the most advanced civilization and really needed to know the exact time the Nile would flood, they realized the solar calendar calculated within that 365 days, but also that they had to stick to 12 30-day months, forced them to add that 5 1/4 days, 5 days some years, 6 days other years, of no days, not counting in any month period, to get back to ground zero, which for them was the summer solstice. But when Moses and Aaron were told by God, this day will be the start of your new year, that was the spring equinox. And so you go from the March 20th, you just count out 30 days for every month until you get to month 12. And month 12 is the longest month, if you want to really say that, because it goes from some 35 to 36 days long, but it's only 30 days long because there are 5 or 6 days that are just not counted. That is the calendar. We'll replay the show again on the day of the new year, just to revamp again what we're talking about. But this is the God's calendar of the Bible, and it is not the calendar that the Jewish people follow today. That calendar, unfortunately, it, with months named after pagan goddesses of Babylon, is simply not God's calendar. What I explained to you just now in this program is the calendar that is easily proved in your Bible that God gave to Moses, and that explains why Jesus Christ's Passover was not a day early, because he was going to die on Passover, on the Jewish Passover, and it is called in John the Jewish Passover. And the Passover is not Jewish. It's for all of Israel, because they were following a different calendar by the time Jesus was alive. They were following that evening Babylonian calendar of darkness that Jesus warned against. Until tomorrow, Bob Barney for the Plain Truth Today, saying thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.